Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about a couple of updates on Giga Berlin. We've got news from Giga Shanghai, analyst updates. We'll of course talk about the PPI report from this morning, and a few other items as well. Another nice outperformance for Tesla on the day today, finishing up 3.6% to close at $302.61, while the Nasdaq did recover a little bit from the terrible day yesterday. Certainly not making up all that ground, but closing up 0.75%. After the consumer price index report yesterday, a lot of eyes this morning on the producer price index to see how that compares. The PPI report here, much better received by the market today. The headline number was up 0.1% month over month in August. That was in line with estimates. As for core PPI, so excluding food, energy, and trade services, that did increase 0.2% month over month. So an increase, but not as big of an increase as we saw in core CPI, and not as big of a disparity between headline and core. Year over year, core PPI was up 5.6%. So if we look at the graph over the last 12 months, we can see that this has continued to decline, unlike the core CPI, which we saw revert from the declining or stable changes that we'd seen over the last 4 or 5 months. So probably not enough here to change the expectations for what'll happen with the next Fed meeting, but definitely a report that does not look as bad as the CPI did. That next FOMC meeting, by the way, that'll be 1 week from today, next Wednesday, September 21st. Elon again chimed in on this on Twitter, of course, earlier. He had said that deflation looks like it could be something that could be a concern. He said today he believes the action that the Fed should take should be a 25 basis point drop in interest rates. Of course, that's not going to happen, but when Elon does chime in, something like that, it certainly increases the volume on that side of the discussion. So anyway, we'll have the Fed meeting next week and that interest rate decision, and then the following week on Friday, September 30th, the core PCE, or personal consumption expenditures report, will come out. Too bad that's not before the Fed meeting, because the Fed has said that that is something that they look at very closely. They feel it's maybe a little bit better of a reflection than CPI or PPI. So there will be a lot of eyes on that for maybe an early indicator of what the Fed does their next meeting in November. As for the calendar on my end, we're taking a little bit further of a look out here because I am actually starting tomorrow going to be going on vacation. So the first time that's not a family thing or just a single day off for 4 years or something like that. So I'm excited about it. Really hate missing days, but hoping to unplug a little bit. And in all likelihood, depending on what the news is, the next episode after today will probably be next Thursday. All right, getting into the Tesla specific news, we've got a report today from the Wall Street Journal on Tesla's battery manufacturing plans for Giga Berlin. They say that Tesla is pausing its plans to make battery cells in Germany as it looks at qualifying for US electric vehicle and battery manufacturing tax credits, people familiar with the matter said. They also say that according to those people, Tesla has discussed shipping cell-making equipment they had intended to use at Giga Berlin to the United States. The report does mention tax credits as a possible influencing factor in this decision, and the Wall Street Journal even brings up the possible advanced manufacturing production credit of $35 per kilowatt hour for battery cells and $10 per kilowatt hour for battery modules. We've talked a lot about that on previous episodes. To me, it seems like the Wall Street Journal is just layering that in as context rather than saying that that is Tesla's reason here. It could also be related to the $7,500 consumer-facing credit, or possibly both. Remember, we don't have final confirmation that Tesla will be eligible for those battery manufacturing credits. I lean towards yes, but I have waffled on that because I don't think the legislation makes that entirely clear, which I'm making a point to mention these things because we shouldn't take the Wall Street Journal including that as context as confirmation that Tesla is expecting to get those credits. If that does end up being the case, alongside the consumer-facing credit, which of course also has qualifications based on where batteries are made and sourced, then yeah, it does make a lot of sense for Tesla to consider relocating some battery production plans that they had had for other locations, such as Berlin, to the United States to maximize the advantage gained by those potential credits. I mean, that credit alone, that advanced manufacturing production credit, that's probably enough to justify manufacturing in the United States and exporting those packs to Berlin. I don't recall seeing any restrictions on exporting or anything like that. It's possible there's something in there, but I don't recall seeing any. So if you're talking about an 80 kilowatt hour pack, that could be a potential credit of $3,600, which would seem to easily cover the cost of shipping that pack to Europe. Now, that's not the only thing you need to consider. I'm sure there would be tariffs to think about. You've also got to consider lead time, having stuff on boats that hurts your working capital. But definitely enough to justify doing the analysis on that decision, which seems to be the stage that Tesla is in right now. Even if Tesla doesn't end up exporting those cells, and even if this advanced manufacturing production credit doesn't apply, the possible $7,500 EV tax credit still might make it make sense because of the additional demand for Tesla vehicles that that likely creates in the United States if Tesla can make vehicles that are eligible for that full credit, which 4680 production here in the United States gives them a really good shot at doing. Right now, Tesla is still importing some lithium iron phosphate packs from China. If Tesla decided to increase U.S. production even more. Maybe we end up seeing those lithium iron phosphate packs reallocated more towards China or to Europe. So it's a fascinating situation, a lot of dots that need to be connected for Tesla, and still a lot of unknowns, at least on our end, that make it a little bit difficult to piece those things together. But the one thing that is abundantly clear is that whether Tesla takes these machines from Berlin to produce batteries here in the U.S. or leaves them there, this whole tax credit thing is yet another reason for Tesla to try to accelerate their production even further. And I think these sort of things are signs that Tesla is scrambling to try to figure out some way to do that. The other report that we have on Giga Berlin today comes from RBB. They are reporting that a public hearing for the possible 100 hectare expansion of Giga Berlin, which was originally scheduled for September, we've talked about that expansion a few times, could be for logistic purposes, could be some other things as well. The public hearing for that expansion has been delayed indefinitely. It's not exactly clear why that is the case, but the mayor of Grünheide said that there is still a need for clarification. So, tough to say what the root cause of that is and which side it falls on, but always a little bit disappointing to hear about any of those delays. All right, moving on, we've got an update on Giga Shanghai. Wuhua is reporting that Tesla did have to close Giga Shanghai on September 14th, so today. It says September 4th in the tweet, he clarified, he meant today, for part of the day because of a typhoon in Shanghai. So hopefully everybody stays safe and hopefully no major damages from this, but something to keep an eye on. But even with this half a day missed, it might have a little bit of an impact on Tesla's September production. It might seem like half a day doesn't really matter, but that can be 1,500 vehicles or so. When it's Giga Shanghai, it can make a difference. All right, next we've got a couple of quick analyst updates today. First, Canaccord Genuity has increased their price target on Tesla. They still have a buy rating, now a $304 price target, I believe, up from $294 before. The analyst note pointed to comments that we had talked about yesterday on battery supply being secured from Martin Viecha, which when we think about the outperformance that we have seen in Tesla over the last month, over the last week, I think a lot of that is coming from those positive comments on supply, those Giga Berlin reactions, and the slow, very slow digestion of what the Inflation Reduction Act is going to mean for EVs and for Tesla demand. We've also got an analyst update from Needham & Company. They have actually reassigned their coverage of Tesla to a different analyst at the firm, Vikram Bagri, and he has upgraded Tesla from underperform to hold. I kind of hate sourcing from Seeking Alpha, but they did have some snippets from that note today that I couldn't find anywhere else. Overall, he's bullish on electric vehicles in general, saying, quote, "Our key takeaway is that the growth forecast for EVs still appear conservative. The individual OEM targets, government mandates for banning internal combustion engine vehicles around the world, and capital being invested in the space all point to stronger growth in EV adoption," end quote. As for the hold rating on Tesla specifically, he did cite concerns on Tesla's competition in China from domestic players like BYD as one of his main reasons for the hold rating rather than a buy rating. Next, we've got an update that was noticed by Drive Tesla Canada. They spotted that the Canadian Minister of Industry, Innovation, and Science announced on Twitter today that after wrapping up with meetings at the International Auto Show in Detroit, that they are going to be, quote, "on our way to California to talk with another auto manufacturer to bring more investment, create jobs, and build an economy that works for everyone," end quote. So we already know that Minister Champagne has been forthright about having conversations with Tesla already. So not necessarily anything groundbreaking, but it would seem as though if he is talking about Tesla here, that those talks would be ongoing. All right, last few items for today, just in case you have seen this over the last couple of days, a few articles about it. Green the Only noticed that in Tesla's software, they've got some support code for the various crash tests from NCAP, EuroNCAP, etc. So people questioning, well, why do they have that? Is that some sort of cheat device for the tests that make the vehicle perform differently? I mean, I guess that's a possibility based on everything that I know about Tesla and Elon Musk. I don't think that that is probably what the case is. Probably something much more boring that helps facilitate or track the tests or whatever else. Possibly even just data collection for Tesla so that those tests aren't going to waste if they don't collect that data. Obviously, we don't know for sure at this point, but it's not something that I'm concerned about or anything like that. There's also been some articles popping up about Tesla having updated their Megapack, just if you did see one of those. We've already talked about that a while back, so nothing new on that front. And then finally today, we've got an update on Ford, which has announced that they are offering their dealers the option to become quote-unquote EV certified under a couple of different program options that have investments ranging from $500,000 to $1.2 million, the latter of which will receive quote-unquote elite certification and be allocated more EVs from Ford's production. That last part kind of sounds to me like Ford is exacting a dealer markup on their own dealers. Sounds like a familiar tactic, but they do say that about 90% of the upfront investment are expected to be for installation of chargers. So obviously that kind of makes sense, but it is interesting that they're leaving this as optional. They say that dealers have to decide by August 31st Apparently, if they don't opt in, they won't have another chance until 2027. Forge chief customer officer said, quote, there's too much uncertainty. We don't think it's fair to force them to go on the EV journey or force them into a buyout. We think it's really uncalled for because they have a healthy and strong growing business. We want them to have the choice, end quote. So I don't know if we'll end up hearing how many dealers end up opting in here, but definitely an interesting way of handling this transition. So that is where we'll leave it for today. And again, likely where we'll leave it for the next week or so. Hopefully nothing too crazy happens, but I'll try to check in if there's anything really insane. Otherwise, thank you as always for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you next week, Thursday, for the September 22nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.